Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Digital Jamaica Podcast. I'm your host, Kadia Francis. Thank you so much for tuning in to listen to more conversations with digital Jamaicans. This week, we are talking with Ronnie Sherry. And if you guys have been listening long enough, you would have heard me explain that earlier when I just started podcasting, I had recorded several episodes in the back. And what happened was I had a systems crash, so a lot of those shows got the files got corrupted, and I've been working on repairing the ones I can repair, piecing them back together, and this particular conversation was one of those that ended up in the lost files, as I call it. But I met Ronnie last year December at a WordPress meetup that is hosted by Bianca Wells. And guys, if you are interested in WordPress, if you are a developer who works with WordPress, this is definitely a local forum for you. Very informative, great people. I leave a link to where you can find meetup dates so you can get involved with that. But I met Ronnie at the WordPress meetup. We instantly clicked because I realized that we share a love for the digital space and the creative arts and putting those two things together. So we instantly clicked. There was no plan at the time that we agreed to have this conversation, what it was going to be about. But while we were talking, the discussion evolved into the whole idea of being authentic when you're telling stories, especially when you're telling stories about Jamaicans. Because you all know how we can be othered in the international space. Our culture is popular, but not necessarily Jamaicans, you know. So telling the story about the creatives who are creating these beautiful things, whether it's music, art, dance moves, whatever it is, telling those stories and being authentic to the point where we are almost echoing their voices and we're not editing out too much because we want to be mainstream. So it was a really awesome conversation. I'm sure you're gonna enjoy it as much as I did. But before we get into it, just to let you know that the Digital Jamaica People to Watch series, the nominations are ongoing. We open nominations in September and nominations will be closed at the end of October, October 30th to be specific. If you know anyone, any Jamaican who deserve to be featured in the 2020 series, please, please go ahead and nominate them. If that Jamaican happens to be you, even better. Go ahead and nominate yourself. Nominate people you know. There are six categories. It's tech, media, business, creative arts, influencers, and change agents. Now, there's more information available as to what exactly these categories are about and who were last year nominees and what's been happening with them and what the platform is about and how you can nominate and who can be nominated. All that information will be in the link in the show notes. Visit the website www.kadiafrancis.com/podcast. You'll find more information there. The link is also available on my social media platforms, on Instagram at The Digital Jamaican and Facebook the same at The Digital Jamaican, and on Twitter, Digital Jamaican. So go and check that out. Nominate. Let's get as many people nominated as possible. Let's celebrate our Digital Jamaican. So that being said, let's get into the episode. We met at the WordPress meetup hosted by Bianca Wells back in December when we were doing the Christmas lime. And we instantly decided that yes, we definitely should get you on the podcast, and we've been working to get you here ever since. So I'm actually really glad you're here, and I'm really glad to talk to you because you're a very interesting person. First of all, you live in several different places, right? And you are you the editor for the 7 a.m. magazine?
Yes, I'm the editor and as well as the creative director and founder of 7 a.m.
And 7 a.m. is a digital magazine that is really, as far as I can see, is really centered around, it's culturally Jamaican, or
Yes,
is it
well, the thing about
Caribbean?
7 a.m. is, yes, it is Caribbean centered. My aim for 7 a.m. though is to cover creatives. I wanted to have a platform where creatives can inspire each other.
Right.
I wasn't finding traditionally other than platforms like Adobe has 99U, and there are a couple of outlets out there like Black Creatives does a really good job of highlighting creatives as well. But I wanted something by creatives for creatives. So we tell stories in arts, music, entertainment, fashion, culinary, whatever creativity means for you. However, I've lived overseas in New York. I spent a lot of time in New York. I grew up there. And I think that there are a lot of media publications in LA and especially in New York that we don't have access to here in Jamaica. So my goal was to have a publication that's centered in Kingston to treat Kingston the same way that media outlets treat New York, where persons can see us at the event supporting them, they can pitch us stories in person, they can have a connection to us, but the platform reaches worldwide. So we have an audience in Florida, New York, Atlanta, LA, and then we found out that we're reaching internationally, UK, Canada, Africa. So I wanted it to be very Caribbean centered from like powered by Caribbean creatives, but I wanted it to reach the world. And we do actually do stories on persons internationally from all different backgrounds. But a majority of our team is located in Jamaica. We have a writer in Trinidad and we have a couple of writers in the United States.
Okay, awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got. I know you said that you wanted to really create a space for Caribbean creatives to treat with it the same way that you have experienced other platforms treating creatives elsewhere. But how did you? That's where the idea came from, but how did you get started and why did you decide on a digital platform?
That's a great question. My background is in web design. I've been designing since I was 13. If you know me, you can do the math. It's been a while. But
Right.
I definitely wanted to go digital. At first, we wanted to go print. But we decided to not procrastinate because there was so much that went into our print issues that we said, let's just go ahead and put it out. But I wanted it to look and feel like a magazine. And so when you go on our website, which is WordPress-based, it's very visual and it's very easy to navigate through, and you can go through different sections like a magazine. We also experimented with these quarterly issues that I was designing using Adobe Spark. So you get the exclusive, you know all of my like digital secrets. We were using Adobe Spark to create this like website like issue where you can scroll through an entire issue and it had a table of contents like a magazine. But we're currently troubleshooting that because it's very beautiful on the computer, but Adobe Spark is not very mobile friendly. So when we released that first preliminary issue to test it out, persons were telling us that the text was too small and they couldn't read it on their phone. And I kind of ignored it because I was like, okay, well, you just need to get on your computer then. But we realized that most of our traffic was coming through web or people who
Mobile
are on
users.
Twitter or Instagram. Yeah, you can't be in technology and ignore the mobile user. So I was like, okay, we're going to really put all of the attention we were putting into the quarterly issues into the weekly blog experience. And it hasn't always been weekly, but now we're at a point where we're pushing out at least one new article every week on the website. And yeah, I remember reading articles like, okay, I'm going to name some publications that I really love. Like I really love Fader. They feature like creatives, and when creatives were being like covered, it was like, oh, Jamaican artists that is inspired by Vybz Kartel, but we here know that that's Leisha Johnson. So I would repost the content and like post his name and tag him, or I would just see stuff like, oh, Jamaican creative specializes in digital art, and it's like, hey, but we know that that's Taj Francis, so let's put it out there and give Taj Francis the credit. So, and I'm not criticizing anybody's headlines because I'm not saying art are perfect, but we wanted to just start telling more personalized stories, and not just in the art scene, just in general, just being here and being able to see the culture and being able to see arts and entertainment. And we cover events, which is something I wasn't sure if we were going to do, but it's become such a big thing because it's not guaranteed that, you know, okay, so Gleaner might cover it, and Observer and Loop, and there's great publications that exist like Larja, Ashi, Creative Box, and all of these publications. But if you're not physically on the island, how are you going to make it to these events and do your event recaps? So we started incorporating event recaps to give it a more creative and visual experience than you might see in the Gleaner and the Observer. And we noticed other publications have been doing that as well, like Down the Road, and I mentioned Crit Box and Bashi and all of them. Like, we just wanted to give a perspective. The eyes of the world are on Jamaica, so we wanted to give that perspective from the actual island. And Kingston in specific, because, you know, I spent a lot of time in New York. I grew up there, so Kingston reminds me of the ongoing miss of New York, where there's always something happening. There's always an art show or a music show or, you know, someone's doing something creative. So we wanted to kind of be there firsthand to story.
Right, because Kingston is kind of like the hub of, well, I would go as far as to say it's the hub of the Caribbean, because a lot of things are really happening there and happening at such a rapid pace, and daily there's always something happening, always a show, as you said, some exhibition, somebody showing, some music album launch. There's always something happening in Kingston, and it's really always centered either around business or the creative arts.
Exactly.
Those are the two major things that really holds Kingston together. So there's always something like that going on. So I suppose you're in the perfect place then to capture that symbiosis then, and then put that out there for the world to kind of tap into the pulse of what's really happening in the creative sphere in Kingston. In Jamaica, really.
Absolutely. And to go back to your question about why digital is, like, everyone's not going to get a copy of The Observer or The Gleaner. They're not going to get... A lot of people do a great job of keeping up, but that's mostly online. So we want to see how we can reach the world and kind of amplify the stories. I always knew that media would be a part of this creative revolution, because how else are persons going to know what's happening unless the media covered it? So even, like, 2 years ago, I kind of tweeted and said, hey, if we really want our artists, if we really want artists, music artists and fine artists, if we wanted them to blow, then we have to really start telling the story. We really have to, media has to play its part, because part of it is helping persons know what's going on. And I do look at Kingston as that media hub. So the same way persons fly out and they go to New York and they do their media run and they go to all these different places, do their press runs, I would love to see the rest of the islands coming to Kingston to do their press runs, because they know that there's great media outlets here. And by them being digital, we can reach the world. There's a lot of pressure sometimes being digital. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, are we covering things fast enough? Are we supposed to cover everything? But we decided to commit to storytelling, and storytelling doesn't have a time frame. So every now and then there's a release that's timed. We know a song is coming out on Friday, and we're going to post on Friday. But for the most part, once we meet a person and have a conversation with them, we invite them to, do you want to tell your story on 7 a.m.? And for the most part, we always say yes. So then...
It turns out then for you, especially for your publication, your digital publication, it lends itself well to storytelling. The digital platform, it lends itself well to storytelling, because then telling the story of the artist behind the painting or behind the song or the creative behind the whatever, that kind of has a longer shelf life then, because things are happening at such a rapid... Listen, people, Kingston does not sleep, okay? So because things are happening at such a rapid pace, when you tell a story about somebody, even if they don't have anything coming out now, it has a longer shelf life, and it is something that people can continuously go back to as a reference point then to say, yeah, oh, now I understand why this song, or now I understand why that piece of work, right?
Yes, that is a really great point, and I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm inspired by, I have a friend named Janine. She used to write for Large Up and other outlets as well. But I remember someone here on the island saying to me that she wrote a piece on, like, the history of the Mesh Marina. And someone was saying, you know, I was doing all of this research. I think it was like Rhythm Magazine or something. And they were saying, I was doing all of this research, and hers was the best written article that had come out. And Janine is, she's a Jamaican-American living in Miami. And it had such impact to me that, okay, if she hadn't written that article from her firsthand perspective, someone else wouldn't have been able to find that reference that they needed on something that's very central and unique to a specific culture. So I get really excited when we publish these stories now, because when someone else is Googling, okay, who's Yana and how did Life from King single and who's Five Seasons, and even beyond the Caribbean, because sometimes we cover persons internationally that are just getting their start. We're doing a piece with a photographer in Switzerland, and we've done pieces with persons in the States. So it's like, where are you finding content? And it gives it aids credibility, and I'm so glad that we can give credibility. Not that any artists need it, but if a bigger outlet is looking at you or someone's looking to do business with you, they can search, and now there's more media. There's a start, and right. we're definitely not the first one. There's, like I said, I'm a fan of Janine, who's been writing, Shireen. I've noticed what Backyard is doing, how they're a print issue, but they publish their content to Instagram. That's something that I think, say we, but I'll take accountability. I should get better at doing. I have a great team. But I think just having that content there where you can click on a hashtag or you can search on Google, it does have a longer shelf life. And it most persons admit that they only pick up a magazine when they're going through the airport or when they're in a place that is selling the magazine. So some stories will not get seen unless you pick up that physical copy, but you never know when an article is going to come across your timeline. Social media is great for getting a view and click from person seeing something and wanting to read more about it. So
right, because yeah, I had that conversation. I had a similar conversation with Shireen, because I did interview Shireen from Bashing Magazine. And I had a similar conversation, because I don't know if you guys realize serendipitously, or yeah, because I like the word serendipity. So serendipitously, what you guys are actually doing too, you're acting as digital preservationists in terms of the culture. Because Jamaica is not very big on preserving things. We're not very big at data collecting and putting things together and archiving. We're really not very good at that. So what you guys are actually doing is you're archivists, digital archivists, preservationists, where you're preserving the culture in a digital space. And then what is happening is that this digital, what I call evolution, because the revolution really has already passed. We're now in constant state of evolving digitally. And it's, I beg your pardon?
Evolution over revolution. I'm glad you pointed it out.
Right, because the revolution already started in the 1950s. So we're now in a state of constant evolving, digitally evolving, and that's not ever going to stop. Ever. So what you guys have done is you've taken the culture, by taking the culture and putting it online, you're acting as archivists and digital preservationists for future generations to be able to access this culture and access 2019, 2030. Future generation can access 2019 online because of the work that your digital magazines have done to bring forth the culture and putting it in this space. And that's why I like talking to people like you and people like Shireen, because I don't know if you guys set out with that in mind, like, okay, I am the digital preservationist. I don't think you guys had that in mind, but it struck me that that's actually what you guys are doing.
No, that is amazing. And oh God, so much love to Shireen. I actually just spoke for her today. She's like set out to tell the Jamaican story on every possible outlet. I don't care what that outlet writes about. She'll find a way to put Jamaican culture right in the forefront. And I think when you start out, it just comes from like a love of writing. I know it came from a love of writing and a love of designing and storytelling and just creatives in general.
Right.
Like, I really, really love creatives, especially Caribbean creatives. I think it's just something that more of the world needs to see and hear about it. And you know, creatives of Caribbean descent all around the world. I think it did come up, it came up in a conversation just about the verbal storytelling and passing stories down, which is a very big part of Jamaican culture, but if all of the stories are verbal and the elders are getting older and they're not into technology, then what happens if the young persons are not doing verbal storytelling? Do these things get lost? And I think you kind of pointed out that maybe it's not happening verbally, but if someone shares that on Twitter or they have a website that's archived, then it happens there. And not to get into different, you know, groups or organizations, but I've been to plenty of reasoning with the Rastafarian community, and one of the things that comes up is, why aren't we archiving? Why aren't we writing things down? Why don't we have websites? So whether it's Jamaica at large or sub community within Jamaican culture, everybody's kind of realizing, like, well, what's going to happen for the next generation? What's going to happen after that? I get nervous sometimes with content. I didn't want to become a publication that just pushes out content and every time something happens, mainly because then your whole life revolves around blogging and then you don't have the experiences that, you know, I commend people that do it, but sometimes when you're small and you're trying to cover everything, your whole life revolves around blogging.
Right.
But I wonder, are we cluttering the internet? Sometimes I'll have a story and I'll draft it, but if it's already been told in so many different ways, then it doesn't need to be told. I also learned that from Large Up. I have really great editors at Large Up, Gravy and Jesse. And sometimes I'll pitch a story to them and they'll say, well, is there a unique way that we can tell it? Is it still news? Is it still going to be news 4 days later? So what that does is it kind of filters through the clutter to where now you can go to the website and you have quality over content, quality over quantity as far as content on 7 a.m. Mag. And I was just looking at it today and I'm like, okay, we were there for certain moments that were monumental last year. Not every single one, but if you needed a reference for what was live from Kingston, like if you needed a reference for what was going on here, we just did a story on Casey on our team. She did a story on Monique Kidd, who had an art show called Me and Thoughts, and it was really good. And she blew it, like she blew me away with how she told the story in relation to the political issues and the social issues and the vulnerability of being a woman in Jamaica. And Monique has a piece called Petro Jam Up that visually addresses the Petro Jam situation. And I'm like, wow, this is a great piece on a great art show. You know, shout out to Monique, but it also, and Casey, but it also just now creates a story centered around creatives that touches on so much of Jamaican culture and social culture and political culture. And someone can be in New York or LA or Paris or London, and maybe they can read that and think about the things that are happening in their own communities, in their own culture. So it's like we're preserving this culture and telling these stories here, but then also pushing it out to the world. I was very specific about it not just reaching Jamaica, because I felt like, well, if I've lived in Miami and New York and Atlanta and I have email contacts from there and I have a social following around the world, these stories need to be mixed in. They need to go out. They need to be amplified, because it's good to have it circulating around Jamaica and around the islands and around, you know, certain communities. But right. I think that anybody can read that story and say, okay. And I think about, like, I know I'm all over the place, but I'm thinking about, like, when Protégé released Blood Money. That was a song that was so centered on what's happening in Jamaica. But when he starts the song off by saying, take a look in Jamaica, it's like, it's telling the rest of the world, like, I'm about to show you what's really going on. And I thought just that one line in that song was very powerful. Like, if that song just circulated around Jamaica, and I think that song can still circulate, it's such a powerful song. It's like, tell everyone what's going on, kind of get the world involved. And he tours all around the world singing songs.
Yeah,
so
that
that's
was
kind of like the impact that we wanted to magazine.
Right, yeah, that was a big tune. That was a big tune. Yeah.
I remember he did a press release. I'm like, he's doing an Instagram live press release for a song? What's going on here? So when you hear the song, you're like, all right. But I think that's another example of, you know, Jamaicans just using technology to tell these stories, but make sure that they get out to the rest of the world. Because it wasn't just us in Jamaica that knew that that was coming out. Everyone that was tuned in on Instagram Live around the world, that's the power of technology,
right,
and doing things on the digital space.
Right. So I want to go back, and I agree with you, and there's a lot to be said about Jamaicans using the digital space to tell their own stories. And I always, when we talk about storytelling, which is where I want to go back to, because I think you guys do it particularly well and do it, I like how you, there's a flow, there's an easygoingness to it, there's a flow to it that I really like. It's almost as if two people just sitting down and talking. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that about how you tell your stories. But there's something to be said about Jamaicans using digital platforms to tell their story. And I always go back to the this author, Chimamanda Ngozi. I think that's how her name is pronounced. Adichie. And she did a TED Talk where she talked about the power of telling your own story and being the person telling your own story instead of having your story being told by other persons who can then revise, mm-hmm. edit, add, and subtract as they please. No, that is why.
Well, I, that's all the time.
Yeah,
editors, they edit my story is down to like, I'm just like, you took out all of this stuff, what happened? No, editors are great, but they can literally change a story once it goes out. It can
definitely
be better than maybe you might have told it. And I think that's why I try not to edit. That's why I made the comment about being an editor. Like, I run it through Grammarly, and then I say, all right, I might switch things here and there, but I like it to be raw and unpolished. And by being unpolished, it actually is
authentic. It's more authentic. Yeah.
One of the writers that we have that, oh my God, I don't even know how I would function without him, is Sean. Sean has a blog called Porn Culture. And he was, I can't remember who was following who, but persons kept telling me, you know, 7 a.m., you need to check out Porn Culture. And I was like, oh, I already know about it. I think it's great. And I was in his blog was laid out like episodes, but they were just conversations between, very raw conversations between him and artists, and he had different ways of interacting with them. So we connected, being fans of each other's blogs, and I had a press release that came through for Everflow, and I said, okay, well, this might be a good one for Sean, because, you know, he writes about music. But I always was impressed by how he didn't approach it like a press release. He still is just talking to you, the audience, from the blog, which is 7am, right, the magazine, the publication. And that became the pattern with all of his releases, whether it's something that he's just writing from his head, whether it's an interview, or whether someone sent us a formal press release. He'll glance at it, he'll listen to the song, and then he'll just type, like, an essay or conversation style. I will have other writers, Anna Cornish, Rashida, who is amazing, Narissa. I want to go through the whole team, Tammy Osanya Maya, everyone. I don't want to, Maura Flint, I don't want to leave anyone out, because it's an amazing team. You can go on 7ammag.com and click on browse, and you'll get to see every editor and contributor to the magazine. But they have a raw way of telling stories that when these stories come across my inbox, or they drop them in WordPress, because we do drop them in WordPress, thank God for Gutenberg for making it easy to put these stories together. But they put the stories in there, and I really don't want to touch any word. I don't want to. All of my writers have amazing grammar, and sometimes things will get spell checked that I'll just leave alone, because when you're reading it out loud, or you're reading it in your head, it's very authentic. And if you're familiar with Caribbean culture, or you're just familiar with creative culture in general, it'll resonate more than an article that you'd see on a bigger publication that might edit it and fine tune it to fit what is considered proper standard English.
Right. And here again is where you guys are. Here again is where you guys are important, because when you have a team that has unique insights into Jamaican culture, who has experienced Jamaican culture, either because they're Jamaican themselves, they've lived here, they are second, third generation Jamaicans, they have family who are Jamaican, so they have first-hand knowledge and experience of the culture. The writing, the storytelling tends to be a little bit more, not a little bit more, a hell of a lot more authentic, because then you can recognize things in what your interviewee is saying, and you can then put that, translate that to the paper or to the page or online in such a way where the person reading understands what is going on without it losing any of its authenticness. Especially when it comes to how we speak, which is a very big part of what being Jamaican is, how we talk. We have our own language, really. So sometimes translation, sometimes not. And as an editor, it's up to you to decide, when do I translate something and when do I not? And sometimes the not translating is what adds, that is what makes the article powerful. Because then what happens is that the reader then have to go do their own search to find out, okay, what this means. And then that carries them all over the story and back and forth. And by the end of it, they're like, okay, I just traveled to Jamaica through this story, and that's really what you want. So that's why it is always good to have editors who have that first-hand experience of Jamaica, and who then can then take that story, mesh it with that experience, right, and present it to a reader, to give that reader, to allow that reader then to have that experience that they're probably not going to have because they're not traveling to Jamaica necessarily. But they have it through reading your story.
Absolutely. And there are, that's one thing that I enjoy about, like, publications like Backyard, when they write, they'll just do it raw. Persons like Jesse Bookman, and they'll do it raw. But like Backyard will have like a glossary at the end of their publication, or they have a whole glossary on their website where you can see what these words mean. So it's like, it's now your responsibility. You saw the word, now you go and look it up and see what it means. And I've experimented sometimes, like, well, when you see mainstream publications or you read a book, like right now I'm reading Vibe Cartel's book on The Voice of the Jamaican Ghetto, and there are certain phrases, it's very standard English because he worked with a co-editor and they put it together. And Vibe Cartel, he's Cartel, he's a genius in his own right. But there are certain phrases that are italicized. So I'm like, well, on our site, should we, you know, and I just was like, no, however you write it, let's just put it out there. We don't have to separate these terms from that terms. Just some artists that speak a certain way, they write differently. Some people write how they speak. And also sometimes I, as an editor, I experiment sometimes like, okay, I just did an interview with Nicky Chulo, who is, he's from Virginia, he lives in New York, so you have to, that article is coming out. But I experimented because I think I was saying stuff when I was interviewing him, or I just was like, childhood and teen and all of this stuff. And I was like, should I take that out? Because he's not, I don't think he's a Caribbean descendant. I'll ask him, but I don't think he is. But I was like, should I take this out? It's, you know, this is not, I'm not interviewing a Jamaican designer, he's just a designer. But I said, no, why not? Because that's the public, that's who we are. So there's times when I experiment, like, should I change the language if I'm talking to someone that doesn't live in Jamaica? Or when we post the articles online, so I just did a recap of Sylvan LeCue, who is, he's American, but he's also a Haitian descendant. I don't know if he'll tell you that, but he's. So it's like, when I'm writing it, I'm like, all right, when we post it, we want to say something like Hero or Guan or Pre or whatever. Well, should you do that if his audience is predominantly American, or they're predominantly international, then they're black or white, do they know what Cree means, do they know what, like, what does that mean to them? But I just decided to just go with whatever feels natural, and I let the writers do whatever feels natural. The photographers, I don't tell them what to shoot, I just say, here's who we're interviewing, go off and do whatever you want. And it actually worked. It just, I think it's very important to bring those worlds together. I can't speak for everyone, because sometimes persons might not know what you're saying, but I think my thing was not what words are being used, but does it sound like a voice? Does it sound like we're telling a story? Does right. it sound like authentic to whoever is telling that story? And that seems to work. So if it's working, let us know. If not, we'll definitely think about it.
Right. But it's also a way of bringing the Jamaican vernacular into the global space, which is something that historically we is almost as if we've been afraid to do, outside of the touristy gimmicky where come to Jamaica man or Iron Man, which we've never said. Right, but it's a way of getting our actual vernacular out there, what the things that we actually say on a day-to-day basis. And what a lot of people don't realize is that we invent words in Jamaica when we talk about slang. I don't think there's anybody else, and I've lived several places outside of Jamaica, and I don't think anybody else invent words like Jamaica invent words. We invent words for dances, we invent words for song, we invent words to relay an emotion that it is hard to find an English word for. Like for instance, we say like my ben. We used to say like my ben, which means you're upset. Or we do things like that, and we take perfectly standard English words and then crush them, mash them up, and turn them into something else. That's also a very big part of Jamaican culture. So it's good when we use these words and we can drop these words into whatever piece. Because you know what the funny thing is, though, Rania? Nobody else has this kind of apprehension when it comes to their own language. I don't see any other people going, should we use Indian words in this piece? I don't see anybody else doing it.
Like friends that are Dominican and Cuban and Puerto Rican, they will talk to you and they will bust out in Spanish in the middle of talking and then go right back to English, and they'll use slang words, not learning Spanish class. And it's just whatever point that has to be gotten across. But I think the Jamaican language is so creative.
Very
like,
creative,
everything
yeah.
that you just, the whole time you were speaking, I'm just like, creativity. Well, that's creativity. That's creating. That's creating creativity. And I think if you're going to talk about creatives, you have to capture that. And I think that there are, it's not just us as a storyteller and verbally. Like I mentioned, Monique, her art is full of what's actually happening here day to day. It's stuff that you would recognize if you were in Kingston or really anywhere. And I spent a lot of time overseas. I spent more time overseas than I did here on the island. But I have friends on my team too that will definitely go through things and correct things. And I have to give a shout out to Tammy, because if I do an article with audio, I remember she went and transcribed, and I said, why don't you transcribe this? Because I want to see what it's going to look like when you transcribe it. And she preserved so much of the little nuances in the, like, it amazed me how she captured all these little nuances. And I'm like, there's no one else. You have to be Jamaican in order to really take this and translate it and get those little bits and pieces. And I have to give a shout out to Larja, because I slip so much into my articles when I submit to them. And it's always fun to see what gets left in and what, I'm like, oh, wow, they left that in there. Okay, I didn't know if that was too, you know.
Right.
So what's going on? Because they're both of them are in New York. But right. I think it resonates to them, because no matter where you are in the world, if you're in touch with someone that's on the island, you kind of know, okay, that's what's going on. I was thinking about, you said our dances as well. So when I was thinking about the Chris Brown video just came out, and all of Jamaican Twitter was like, did I see a flurry? That was a flurry in the video.
That was a flurry in the video. I saw it.
And they were like, nah, that's a Jamaican dancer. But I'm thinking, like, okay, if you don't know what a flurry is, you're going to be like, what are they talking about? You know, but if you know what a flurry is, then you saw it. You saw it with your own eyes. So,
and you see that's the thing. So, and then you have a writer who comes and go, okay, in the Chris Brown video, he did a Jamaican dance, and how Jamaican dance has really gone international. But with Chris Brown though, he's always doing Jamaican dances. He's always copying and putting his own spin, I suppose, on Jamaican dances. So that's not a new thing. In fact, and this is another thing that I don't know if you guys are aware that you're doing. It's almost as if you're doing intellectual property work for these actual creatives, because a lot of the times it is hard for local creatives to put the stamp on the work that they're putting out there. So it's easy for people to take it and manipulate it and try to say it's their own. So when a magazine, a digital magazine like yours or Bashir or Lajop or Panache or any one of these local digital magazines, when they say, okay, this artist established this time and this day and this is where it came from, and the dance first came out in Kingston in whatever club, and so it's almost as if you're doing the intellectual property work for these artists, because especially when everything is online these days, you know, this whole debacle with Fortnite and stealing people's dances and stuff.
I was just thinking of Fortnite, you know. I'm thinking about Fortnite, right?
So it's almost as if you guys are establishing ownership of this creative work through the stories that you tell about these artists. And yes, dancers are artists, and our DJs are artists. It's art. It's all art, and you're establishing ownership of that art as, okay, this is authentically Jamaican, this was made by a Jamaican person, and this is how it came about. And this is why I said storytelling lends itself so well to this kind of platform, and there's so many residual benefits of telling the stories of these artists on this platform, because then anybody can Google Flurry, and they're going to automatically know that this is a Jamaican thing.
If it's not on Wikipedia, it's going to be on someone's blog, or someone's tweet is going to come up.
Right.
One of our writers, Sheeta, she did a article for Bashi on dances, and I was really happy to read it. It was so well written. And I was thinking to myself, like, I don't even know if she realizes what she did with the article, that it was a very unique story.
Right.
And I don't know exactly when it was written. I know when it was published. But I was like, okay, again, just like the Mesh Marina story that Janine did. So now if someone is trying to research this, your article, I'm very big on Google. I'm very big on search results.
Yes.
I'm a researcher. I market research. I research for journalism. I research for marketing. I research for everything, my own life. And those top 5 links, those top 10 links that come up are very important. So it's not just about telling the story, but sharing the story. Because if anyone knows how SEO and these things work, and I know you've had experts, I think I saw Ingrid on here. I don't want nobody like calling me out for not being an expert, but I know that the more persons that are linking to your stories, and the more that we share these stories,
is the more global reach it has. Yeah.
The more global reach. So when it goes online and people are searching, we want our stuff to come up. And I think there has been a back on how things are being covered in the media. Some persons are very vocal about it. And I think that the way to counter that is to just keep putting out content. Just keep putting out content, because eventually this content will outweigh. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, I love international publications. I write for a few. I'm in the works to write for a few. And I think not doing it so responsibly, but I think that there are more and more writers that are coming into that space that can tell those stories. So whether it's us telling it from our own platform or doing guest spots or pitching stories to bigger platforms, I think it's very important. And one of the biggest issues I'm having in the digital space right now is visibility for Jamaican hip hop, because it's like, okay, here on the island, it's so dominated by dancehall and reggae. So the hip hop community is small on the island. And then when you get off the island, hip hop is just hip hop. You know, if persons can't understand it, or the it's a little different for them, or the sounds are different, does it still get that same welcoming in the wide world of hip hop? You know, hip hop having it in Jamaica.
Right.
It's like, are we still getting the respect needed for Jamaican hip hop? And in the digital space in particular, we're telling hip hop stories on our publication, and other publications are doing it as well. I just got put on, I've known about 13th Street Promotions, but I found out that Suede and everyone has been telling the story of hip hop from Kingston to Mandeville all over the world. So it's like, okay, these stories are being told, but it needs to become global. And I was like, okay, I can write about hip hop dub. I can write about hip hop on 7 a.m., but I want that DJ Booth article. I want that Fader article. I want that article, not because it's an international publication, but why is it that when I click on certain hashtags or certain things, you don't have a lot of Jamaican content on your site for hip hop, you know? So I think it's like a matter, again, of like, if do they exist? If yes, they exist. We see them. We go to their shows. We follow them on Twitter. But when we Google, are these persons coming up? When we go on Tidal and Spotify and these streaming platforms, are we seeing their music on hip hop playlists? We digitally, sometimes we do have to hold hands. It's not just about being a publication or a playlist for this market. But
right.
Yeah, okay, how do we get these stories out there? Because I do think it's important to come up on Google. It's important to be a tweet that gets a bunch of retweets and now it's showing up on
right. And people need to know that we have more reggae acts than Gramps Morgan and Morgan Heritage and the Marleys. There are way more reggae acts here because those are the only ones that got nominated for the Grammy, which is why when Protégé and Chronix got nominated, it was such a big deal locally, because you're like, finally, thank you. There are other people here, Grammy white people. We have other reggae acts here. So you telling these stories of these other reggae acts is also other artists in general, because a lot of people don't associate fine art with Jamaica. A lot of people don't associate performance art with Jamaica, unless we're talking about dancing. But yes, but we actually have different kinds of dancing here as well. So when you tell the stories of these artists, you're actually introducing them to a global audience who might have not associated that kind of art with Jamaica, one, and you're opening up a space then for them digitally, opening up a space for them to say, hey, guys, there are other people here doing other things. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with tech, to say, hey, we do tech Jamaica. We do that. So that's kind of what you guys are doing with these articles.
Yes, I love your platform. The WordPress meetup was amazing. I think I got invited by just being at Starbucks and having a conversation with a WordPress developer. And I'm like, you're here and you're Jamaican and you work for WordPress. And he's like, yeah, I'm like one of three Jamaicans at WordPress. I'm like, wow, I've met a unicorn. I'm so happy to meet you. I've met different person faces, you know? So I think, or when I hear about like Joelle, when she went to the international co-working conference and she was the only, I think one of the only Jamaicans there representing for all of Jamaica at this co-working, like representation does matter.
It does,
and
yeah.
I think it's not just representation, period, but you mentioned the Grammy. One thing that I learned at the Jamaica Music Conference was one of the reasons, the Marleys make amazing, incredible music.
Oh, well, definitely, yeah, they're royalty.
down to the amazing. But I didn't realize that a lot of these persons that are voting on the Grammy board, girl with a name that's recognizable, is no different than when I was in America and I had to vote in America. And I'm like, okay, I know who the president is, but I don't know who these other names are on this ballot. What does this mean to me? I'm just going to go with what sounds most familiar.
Right.
And, you know, so when if someone's seeing something and they see Marley and that's the name that's familiar with them, then and they never heard of a Chronic or they never heard of a Protege, then that does affect the voting. So again, media does have a role to play. Sometimes I'm ignorant with it, like, and Sean will call me out on it, my one of my writers, because I'm like, yeah, we need to campaign for Protege because they don't know who Protege is, so we need to let all of the internet know. Retweet this, is gonna go viral. I mean, like, but you know, there's nothing wrong with Stephen Marley album, you know.
don't get me wrong. Stephen Marley's album, well, Damian Marley's album, it was Damian Marley. Damian Marley's album was boss. That was a damn good record. But then again, all his records are good records. I mean, come on, it's Damian Marley. Hello. But still, we were happy with the acknowledgement because Protege album was fucking good and Chronic's album was fucking good too. So
they're also very great with media. They're great with social media. They're great with photography. They do great interviews. They have a great PR team. Shout out to Jamila. And I know there's persons that work with Chronic. And it's like media does have an
impact. Definitely. Definitely.
That we're in the media and we're definitely in the digital space, you'll see. So I can't wait to see who's nominated next year. I can't wait to see who's nominated in 2020 and 2030. Like, I think it's going to be due to the work that creatives are doing in the digital space.
Yeah, definitely.
It's only going to be that the musicians and it's the producers and it's the photographers and all of that. But
you can have a bomb album, but if nobody's talking about it.
Absolutely.
And that is why you guys are so magical. You see, I have a thing for writers. I just do. Because I think it's word art as far as I'm concerned. And I am a big fan of words. But it's what can happen with just putting a few words down on a piece of paper. The effect and impact that it can have, especially in a digital age. I see a lot of local artists getting recognition just off one article. One article talking about, oh, here's this guy doing whatever it is that he's doing. He drew a line on a piece of paper and it was the finest line I've ever seen in my life. And he wrote an article about it and he's now an international global superstar. You understand? So
when Leisha Johnson was written on Fader, I was so happy and so proud to see those images. And to see
when what
get global press, even when Shireen did her piece for Shensia for Fader, it's like I'm happy to see these places outside of Jamaican media, outside of Twitter, outside of social media,
right? Yeah,
because these persons, I mean, look at someone like Spice and everyone, like we can be really big at one place, but when you get overseas, it's like you're starting from scratch. So it would be great if you're starting from scratch over there, but you can carry all of this media with you. You can search me, you know, you can see my article here and article there. And I think that the digital space is important. And this conversation is making me realize how important the digital space is. Sometimes it's just what we have access to. I can use my resources to put up a website and not really have to come out of pocket for it. I am working on a print issue, but there's a lot that goes along with it, advertising space and printing. And we've been meeting with Paperboy and figuring out how we're going to do it. And I've published books before, and I published them to iBooks because I just was like, I don't know, I don't want to end up with 20 books and no one wants to buy them. And it's, you know, you're supposed to be confident in yourself, but it's like with the iBook, I could just put it out there and see who wants it. And when I saw that it was successful and I showed one other person how to do it and they were really into it, and then I did a workshop at Bookophilia and a couple persons showed up and I was like, wow, I didn't realize that there weren't conversations around it, that if you want to publish a book, you can publish it directly to iBooks for free and set a price on it and say what countries you want it available in and what currency you want to sell it in. And that is a digital space that is allowing you to put it out there. And one of the things I did with my book was I wrote a book called Never Fear Love Always, a collection of essays, and I published it to iBooks. And what I did was I wrote where I am in Kingston and I am in Miami. And the first chapter was about, the intro was about me sitting in Bookophilia on a rainy day. I'm writing this from Kingston, Jamaica. I'm at a bookstore. This is what I'm listening to. Because I wanted it to belong to Jamaica. That's where I published it. That's where I put all the essays together. and I just wanted one person to pick it up. That's one of the first things that they saw.
Oh, cool. So you see, so you're fully cognizant then of the impact that the digital platform and can make. And that actually explains a lot about 7 a.m. The 7 a.m. magazine, because I now understand the vibe behind it, because you do get a vibe. So now I can understand the vibe behind it, and I really do encourage everybody to check it out. Where can they find you online?
You can find us at 7ammag.com. So that's the number 7 a.m., like waking up in the morning. So 7ammag.com. We're also on Medium, which is another one of my favorite platforms to publish to. Medium.com/7ammag. We're on Twitter and Instagram at 7ammag. And we are on Facebook, but I am not, so don't judge me for what that looks like. It might be out of date. But we're 7 a.m. mag everywhere. You can email us at 7am@wakeupstar.com. We want your stories. We want to share your stories. We cover art. Oh, and another thing, maybe you can help us with this. Maybe we'll syndicate your podcast. We wanted to do more in the technology space. We have a technology section, and we only have one article up there so far. And we would love, technology is also a creative space, and what you're doing is amazing. So maybe we can do some cross storytelling
Oh, sure,
where we can tell
definitely.
your story,
Because I'm always
telling our
looking
story.
to collaborate. I am very big on collaboration, especially collaborating with other local persons to even further push Jamaica out there in terms of non-traditional spaces that we're not usually known to be in. So I'm always wanting to carry. But before you go though, what does 7 a.m. mean? Why 7 a.m.?
I'm glad that you said that, because I can be very abstract and vague, and I realize the more that I talk about things, the more that we have to define them. So, Wake Up Star is the parent company of 7am, and that is a media arts collective. We do things within the arts and entertainment base. And we'll be relaunching our new website, so you can go check that out later this month. So I have put a deadline out there, so we have to do it. So Wake Up Star, the parent company, is on record. Wake Up Star is a parent company, and we wanted a platform to tell a story. And it just came, there was a quote that I read that said, no man that wakes up at 6 a.m. fails to make his family rich. I hope I'm saying that right. No man that wakes up at 6 a.m. fails to make his family rich. So that stuck with me. Okay, all of the rich stuff is happening with people that wake up early. At 6 a.m. just didn't have a vibe to me. It didn't really fit into a logo. And I don't think I wake up at 6 a.m. And 9 a.m. was just lazy. So I said, all right, what's the 7 a.m.? 7 a.m. We'll go with that. And it fits into the whole wake up scene and everything. So it worked
That was a sexy
out. And then we
alternative.
launched the Mac. That was a sexy alternative. And every time, and then shout out to Paige Taylor, who did our logo. It just, the seven just looked nice and bright and have the sun. And we launched the magazine through a creative retreat, which is going to be an annual theme now. So we had a creative retreat in Kingston called 7 a.m. in Kingston, which really gave life to the name. And I listened to Drake, and Drake has these songs where it's like 6 a.m. in Calabasas and 4 a.m. in New York. Like, he had this series of songs that were different times in different places, and I was like, okay, well, it's 7 a.m. in Kingston. That's where we are right now. So that's another way to remember the name, is that it's 7 a.m. and it's a time thing. But I hope a person's like it. I hope everyone loves it. Every time I go in public and someone says they saw the logo, or I've been at events and I've overheard persons say, oh, you should talk to her, that's Rania from 7 a.m. It's just, I still can't believe it, because I really published the first issue. I was living with my aunt. Like, literally from my aunt's basement up in Red Hills Plantation Heights. So it's like, it's really amazing to see not just my, but the growth of the magazine. And it's for you, it's for creatives. We're open to contributors, we're open to content, picture stories.
Right.
And yeah, I really, and please continue to support the Digital Jamaica podcast, because I was so excited when I saw you get up talk at the WordPress meetup. I was like, I want to talk at
Right.
that.
Oh,
So
I appreciate that. And it's 7 a.m. in Kingston, and that's usually when most dance end anyway. That's usually when most parties end in Jamaica and people go home. All right, Rania.
I might be reaching out to you for some things afterwards.
Yeah, but definitely, 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 definitely. Thank you so much. for talking to us.
Thank you
It was
so
a
much for all that
very,
you
very
teach.
lovely conversation, very enlightening. And I encourage people to reach out to Rania, get your stories told, get your message out there, and engage local digital media platforms. Engage 7AA magazine, engage Bashi magazine, engage Panache, engage these
Carimba,
local Caribbean persons who
PR, all
are
of it.
really trying to
Big culture,
start,
for the culture.
yeah, for the
Yes.
culture, Lie Job, Buzz magazine, all of these
All of them.
local media, digital
All of
media
them.
platforms who are really,
Except the Big culture.
all of them who are really trying to tell our own story. It's authentic, it's truly originally
Yes.
Jamaican, and it's a way of archiving and digitizing Jamaica for future Jamaicans and for the world, because brand Jamaica to the world, right? So thanks again, Rania.
Absolutely.
Awesome conversation, wasn't it? Rania is always coming from such a pure place, and it's always good when the persons who are seeking to tell other people's stories coming from a place of wanting to be authentic and true. And that's an amazing thing. Thank you so much, Rania, for talking to me. Really appreciate it. I could talk to this girl any day. There's just something about talking to her that's really, really awesome. So, thank you again for tuning in to another episode. Really, really appreciate the support. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you have a podcast player. I can guarantee you that we are there. We're gone worldwide. And I really appreciate that support that you've been showing us. Make sure to leave us a review on iTunes. That helps us push up the ratings as well. And make sure you share the episodes with persons who you think may be interested. Get the word out there that the Digital Jamaica podcast is here, talking to digital Jamaicans, getting you the information, getting you the story, because we are also storytellers, right? Amen. So again, guys, the Digital Jamaica People to Watch nominations is open. Go ahead and nominate yourself or somebody you know who deserves to be featured, because they're doing amazing things in the digital and tech space. These are our local trailblazers who are blazing trails in these non-traditional spaces, who are doing the damn thing, and we just really want to celebrate. We want to say that we recognize you, we see you, and we celebrate you. So go ahead and nominate. Links are everywhere. They're on the website, www.kdfrancis.com. They are on our social media page at The Digital Jamaican on Instagram and Facebook, and The Digital Jamaican on Twitter. Get to following. Make sure you subscribe to our blog. We have really interesting conversations with other Jamaicans over on the blog as well. So make sure you're subscribed, make sure you're following, and only members of the community can nominate. I mean, of course, right? So make sure you're subscribed, make sure you're following, make sure that you're completely tuned into what is happening in the digital Jamaican space via our networks. We really appreciate it. And until next time, thank you so much for listening. Take care. Bye.